This rich man and his very beautiful wife were going through a terrible, terrible divorce. And so they had asked for a mediator, and the mediations had been going on for weeks. And finally, the husband said, "Anything. I'll give you anything you want. Do you want the house, the cars? You can have all the money. Just name it, and you can have it." And the woman looks at her husband, and then she looks at the mediator, and she says to the mediator, softly, "I just want him to listen to me as well as you do." We all want... Ha-ha, Larry. Did you hear him? He said, "What'd you say?" It is a human need to be listened to. It's important for all of us to feel understood. In fact, feeling hurt is probably at the root of all conflicts, all hurts, all frustrations, all misunderstandings, all presumptions, because we're not always good at listening to the pain of one another. And yet, it is only through learning to truly listen, to deeply listen to one another with empathy and with forgiveness, that humans, our relationships, and our communities can heal forward. Many years ago, I took a course on healing corporate pain, healing church pain. It was taught by a wonderful man from the U.S., a minister by the name of John Savage. And he reminded us that just like every person has our own life story full of pain and full of celebration, every church community also has its own collective story of pain and celebration. And so it's always important that once in a while we gather together to uncork that pain, and to share the stories that we have experienced as a community, and listen deeply to one another in order for us to heal forward. And so the Gospel of Matthew gives us some guidelines about how to do that. The Gospel of Matthew is known as the community gospel because Matthew spends so much of the time with teachings and advice and guidance with regards to how to live in community with one another, how to be the community of the church. And so Matthew outlines some steps in this passage, steps we need to take in order to heal conflicts. And so we turn this morning to the wisdom and gentleness of our spiritual teacher, Jesus, to begin to understand how it is that we can heal the conflicts in our own lives, in our relationships, and in our communities to heal forward. Jesus is very clear in this passage. Every conflict first begins within ourselves. Someone has said something or done something that has upset us. The conflict is within us. It's our response, how we feel about what they have said or done. So Jesus reminds us that because all conflicts begin inside our own minds and hearts, because we feel wounded by another, we need to sort out why it is we have been so hurt by the comment or the action or behavior of another. If someone has offended you, it's not a when someone has offended you, it's if someone has offended you. The offense might even be in our own minds. Does that make sense? We might take what someone has said or done in a completely different way than was the intent. A conflict mediator that I worked with in another community said, "There's a big difference between intent and impact. The person's intent may not have been anything like the impact. So we're upset The impact, we are upset at the impact. But we find out that the intent was not that at all. Someone said to us this week, the mediator said to us this week, something that could be said can be like a pebble. They think it's a pebble. But it hits us like a big boulder rock. And that's where the hurt happens. So we need to sort it out within ourselves. When we feel violated or betrayed or anger toward another, Jesus reminds us that our first step is to have compassion toward the one who has offended us. Jesus says, do not despise any of these little ones, for God in heaven sees the face of their angels. So according to Jesus, each of us has an angel, a messenger who understands our hearts. And those angels are before God, and God understands each of our hearts. So we are asked not to despise the one who hurt us, because they too are a child, a little one of the living God. And Jesus calls us little ones, not adults, because in the span of eternity, we are very spiritually young. We are very little spiritually. Paul calls us babies spiritually. So Jesus is not referring to children here when he talks about the little ones. He's talking about all of us in the community of the church, all of us humans on this planet. And so Jesus is reminding us not to be so hard on one another because we are spiritually young and really do not understand the heart and story of another, and so we need to be tender and open-hearted toward each other, to have compassion, to feel with the gut the pain of another. So Jesus invites us not to judge one another or make assumptions about the motivations of another, but to have compassion first in our approach to resolving conflict. Someone put it this way about why you should be gentle with people. Someone's life and what you know about it. We only see the tip of an iceberg of a person's life. So how can we judge? We need to be gentle and have compassion, says Jesus. Do not despise any of these little ones. So that's the first step, to check our anger towards someone at the door and remember that they too are God's little ones. And to own that when we are offended by someone, the issue is ours. It has begun with ourselves, and so we need to take responsibility for that and to be open-hearted toward the one who has offended us. And then, says Jesus, he invites us directly to go to the person who has directly offended us, because they might not even know that we have been hurt, and to go to them alone, privately, one-on-one, and share with them our pain or frustration or concern. Jesus understood that if trust between people is to be established, the boundaries must be respected. We all know what it's like to be talked about rather than talked with. We would all rather be talked with than about. Talking with one another builds mutual respect between us. A conversation between two people builds bridges rather than conversation about people, which builds walls. So Jesus invites us to have the courage to go to the person who has hurt us and share with them our hurt and concern. And Jesus goes on to say that if the person listens to you and understands, we have regained our trust in one another. So many conflicts in our lives could be healed if, when we are in pain, we would only go and be listened to by the one who has wounded us. How many times, when you have gone with an argument with your partner and they try to fix the problem, and all you say is, "I just wanted you to listen." That's never happened to you? We all just want to be heard, to be seen, to be listened to. Relationships can be healed if all we simply learned to do was to listen and respect and care for one another deeply. Jesus doesn't say we have to agree. He simply asks us to listen. But then Jesus says, sometimes the other person doesn't listen and doesn't understand. And so Jesus offers the wisdom that perhaps then you need one or two others to serve as witness to the conversation between the two of you. Because perhaps some of the problem also lies within the person who has been offended, not just the offender. And we haven't been able to see that clearly. We haven't begun to see our own responsibility or what we may have done. So Jesus invites us to engage the wisdom and perceptions of an objective third party to help us resolve the tension between us. In the United Church of Canada, it is the ministry and personnel team that is entrusted to be the confidential body to help resolve tension or conflicts or disagreements among the staff and among the church members. In our personal lives, we can go to therapists or mediators to help our couple or family therapists for our family relationships. Sometimes we all need the fresh eyes of someone with skills and training in mediation and conflict resolution to help us heal our hurts. And we shouldn't let our pride or our fear of perhaps being discovering that we ourselves are wrong prevent us from seeking the wisdom and witness of our human relationship struggles. And then Jesus says, but even if that third person fails to help us settle the pain we are still carrying inside, if the one or two other witnesses cannot resolve the disagreement, then Jesus says, take your dispute to the whole church. How would you like that? A couple people are fighting in the church. We bring you before the whole church. They have a little conversation in front of us. How'd you feel about that? No. See, the context in which this was written, house churches are about 15 or 20 people. So when Jesus says, if your objective third party can't hear the conflict, maybe the collective wisdom of the whole community of 15 can hear new things and help the people resolve their disagreement. Well, in our context, if the MNP team or the council can't sort the conflict out in their community, we have a regional officer for the island who is there for United Churches on the island who are struggling, and they can help us resolve conflicts among us. So this past week, the council hired a professional conflict mediator to come and help guide us through some healing conversations between us. He was very skilled in helping us to listen to the hurt and the needs of one another. And for those of us who were involved, it was a very healing process. And he's hopefully going to be able to come back to assist more conversations among council leaders and help our leaders to heal forward. Sometimes when the pain of our lives runs too deep or too long-standing of conflict, we need people beyond our community with fresh eyes to help us see ourselves and each other with greater compassion, with more clarity. And then, Jesus says, if you have taken all this time and all this care and put all this energy into all of these healing conversations, and you are still feel that you have not been listened to or not received from this person who has wounded you what you need, then he says, then let the person who has offended you be as a tax collector or a Gentile. Now, many churches have interpreted this last step as permission for excommunication or shunning the person who has offended you. But then we have sadly misunderstood and forgotten how Jesus treated the tax collector and the Gentile. How did Jesus treat the tax collector and the Gentile? He welcomed them and forgave them. He sat for dinner with dinner and broke bread together. He maintained friendship. Just because we might have a different leadership style or ways of being or seeing things differently doesn't mean we still can't be friends, that we still can't respect one another and work toward the common good together for the mutual benefit of all. And then, just in case we have forgotten how Jesus treated the tax collector and Gentile, Jesus ends this whole discourse in Matthew reminding us about the importance of genuine forgiveness of one another. When we cannot understand one another, we are called to forgive the humanness of each other anyway. Because we all make mistakes, we all make missteps. In this dance of life, we all step on one another's toes. But when we are willing to forgive one another, we are all set free. For the only person who really suffers is the one who can't forgive. So Jesus came as our liberator to remind us to forgive and be free. So if we can increase our capacity to empathize with one who has hurt us, and we can empathize with the one who has hurt us, when we can truly listen to the hurt of someone we have offended, hearts open up like flowers, and we are filled with grace. When we can truly deeply listen to the pain and story of another with compassion and with grace, when we can forgive ourselves for acting badly or wounding someone else, we can heal forward. We cannot have a world at peace, or a church at peace, or a relationship at peace, unless we are at peace with ourselves. So the onus for healing, says Jesus, begins with each one of us. It is we ourselves who need to be committed to our healing work. Last week, the mediator shared with us a wonderful story, which I like to close with. It served as a wonderful example of how we can better learn how to resolve disagreements among us by first understanding what is it that the other person needs? What is it that they are interested in? What is it that they care about? So here's the story that Kevin shared with us. There was once a sheep farmer who cared deeply for his sheep. And he was a very good farmer and looked after his sheep well. And then as time passed, he noticed that his neighbor had a couple of dogs that were quite vicious and destructive. And they would find their way beyond the farmer's fence and distress the sheep. And it would disturb them. And finally it went on so badly that the dogs actually wounded the sheep so badly that one died. So the farmer was distressed. He thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go and talk to my neighbor about his dogs. So he goes to the neighbor and he explains the situation about how his dogs have destroyed his sheep. And the neighbor's response is, that's the nature of dogs. Dogs will be dogs. I'm so sorry, but too bad, so sad. What are you going to do? So the sheep farmer went away totally enraged that the neighbor was not going to keep his dogs at bay so that his sheep could be protected. So he thought, well, I'm going to have to take care of it. So he built stronger fences and he put all these things in place to protect his sheep. Still, the dogs in time found their way into the pasture and hurt more sheep. So the sheep farmer said, what am I going to do? And he thought of an old wise woman that lived down the lane. So I thought, I'm going to go. She's known this neighborhood for years. So I'm going to go to her and ask for her wisdom and advice. So he went, and he went on and on and on about this neighbor, and he went on and on about his precious sheep. And she listened, and she listened, and she listened. And she said, well, I understand that you really care about your sheep. They are very precious to you, and they are of great interest to you. And he said, yes, they are. And she said, but I have not heard from you what it is your neighbor is interested in. So he went away, and he thought about it. Thought, and he thought, and he thought. Then one day, he went over to his neighbor, and he brought with him three little lambs. Because he had noticed that when the neighbor opened his door, when he had complained to the neighbor, that he had three children standing behind him. He thought, that's what my neighbor cares about. So he took three little lambs, and he said, I want each of your children to have a gift of this little lamb. And they will stay in my pasture, but they are welcome to come and pet the lambs and feed the lambs and tend the lambs and look after the lambs. And so the days and weeks went on, and the little children would come over to the pasture and look after the sheep. And do you know what? He never had a problem with the dogs again, because he had discovered what his neighbor cared about. There are so many possibilities of resolving conflicts with one another. So many things that we haven't thought of. But the first step is having compassion and having understanding toward our neighbor, toward our friend, and discover to get to know them and what they care about. Jesus reminds us that even when two or three people are gathered together and are able to agree on something, then the presence of the peace of Christ will be felt and known, and the power of that peace will be filled with endless possibilities and grace. Imagine our church finding agreement among ourselves. What amazing things will Knox be able to accomplish and is accomplishing in Oceanside? So now there's an opportunity for anyone who would like to go to a healing station. There are four chairs at the back, one there, one there, one there, and one there. And there are healers trained in healing energy. And you can go as Jenny plays beautiful healing music. Or you can simply just be in your seat and wonder what it is that you need from one who has offended you. Whichever healing you choose, may you feel the palpable presence of our healing God this day and every day. Amen. Let us sing together.